Faith in American Christianity is most often seen as an act of will. It's a desire, it's an attitude, it's a habit.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran view of depression.
But what happens when you have a mental illness? Whether we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or any number of mental illnesses, all of these mess with your brain, your ability to interact with the outside world. How does God work in that kind of circumstance?
You can meet and hear Pastor Todd Peppercorn June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Every time you see the argument for gender neutrality or completely sex-blind treatment of men and women, you wind up seeing women get the short end of the stick.
The Supreme Court created themselves the National Abortion Control Board because they control abortion law, they control abortion doctrine, they control abortion policies.
Why have we neglected hundreds and hundreds of years of heritage in our churches? Why do we sing garbage? Instead, we have paint-by-numbers pictures of Jesus playing wiffle ball with the kids.
If the church is going to survive where it will survive, because it will survive, it will do so on the forgiveness of sins.
This is Stan in Carson City, Nevada, and I just love listening to Issues Etc. while I'm vacuuming floodwaters out of the game room in my home.
Who could blame you for being confused when the dictionary is being literally rewritten as fast as you can read the new definitions and new words and new pronouns all proliferating before our very eyes, covered in the press and used in the parlance of the culture as though they've been there ever since the founding of the Republic, ever since the everyone spoke the Queen's English, but it's so new and it is confusing. How do we deal with the new definitions having to do with sex and gender and the ever-growing acronym of LGBTQ and whatever other letters have been added since I began speaking this paragraph? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about transgenderism and the new Gnosticism. Dr. Bob Weiss joins us here in the first half hour of the program. After that, Joel Olowski joins us to remember Patrick, that 5th century bishop and missionary to Ireland. We'll talk about the real Patrick in his own words, and you can do that in his case. Pastor Tom Baker will join us after that to teach a Sunday school lesson on the widow's offering in Mark chapter 12. And Rebecca Curtis will be our guest. We're going to be talking about the false charity of modern journalism. What she means there is how the stories are told beyond just who, what, when, and where. A lot of emphasis gets put on the why, especially for the guilty party. That's our lineup for today's Issues Etc. We start out talking about transgenderism. Dr. Bob Weiss is our guest, professor emeritus of practical theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and author of the chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Transgender Identity in Light of Biblical Identity. Bob, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Nice to hear your voice, Todd, and I'm just pleased to be here and chat a bit about this important issue and concern for all Christians and those people who are listening to Issues Etc. today.
You say that transgenderism and the other kind of, I don't know, omnibus of genders that we're now facing in society have their roots, their origins in what you call the new Gnosticism. What is that?
Well, I want to go back and just give a brief definition so that our listeners have an idea of where I'm coming from and what we're trying to address here regarding this whole issue of new Gnosticism. Where we would say, and I'm going to kind of use the phrase, it's the old stuff that talks about we are spirits or sparks of the divinity trapped in a prison cell of this material world. And what we're getting at with that, and I agree with what George Weigel has to say on this several other times in where he has written, but it's an ancient heresy that's been redressed I think, from the standpoint of the sexual revolution, where it's found its basis in this postmodern relativistic deconstruction of radical individualism and autonomy, self-determination, you know, the quest for an egalitarian society where it's one for all and all for one. So it really finds itself where we are dealing with, I guess, the standpoint of the old Gnostic issue of self when it comes down to where we're looking at, I guess you might say, a disconnect from personhood and sexuality, so that the whole the neo-Gnostic view would say something like the sexual identity of a body, it's going to be ignored, it's going to be denied, it's going to be altered to conform to the individual's higher self understanding. And that, I think, is a reflection of what happened in the 60s with the hippie movement that I was part of and many of your listeners. And so this then becomes a direct challenge to the biblical and historical Christian understanding of a human person as a unity in which body and soul are inextricably joined by the divine creative act, inseparable both in time and eternity. And so our one CTCR document years ago dealing with human sexuality, in so many words I could paraphrase this, it's an attempt to escape the fact of our sexuality is really a flight from creation. So that's kind of where I'm coming from in terms of what's called new Gnosticism. It's just been the old stuff about the self with imaginations, you know, sort of, I'm caught in this cage, get me out of here, so I'm going to change what I look like, what I feel like, in terms of male to female, or female to male, so that the male now has basically feminized their masculinity, or the woman has masculinized her femininity. So that's kind of where I'm coming from the standpoint of what now is being used as called a new Gnosticism.
How would you tell the history of transgenderism?
Well, actually, the history of transgenderism really predates the Civil War, when there were women who were dressed as men to fight during the Civil War, and nobody knew about this. And so it goes back that far, and it also goes back to the point of where, I guess, way back into the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, where this was a very common issue. And until some of the listeners I know have heard of Christine Jorgensen, who was George Jorgensen, who was an actress. And in 1952, he became a woman, went through complete sexual reassignment surgery. And then Richard Raskins, who became Rene Richards, a tennis player, was also an ophthalmologist who's written several books called First Serve, Second Serve. That really catapulted a lot of this to the point in 1995 when the word transgender was added to the LBG group. So it became LBGT, transgender. Initially, they didn't really want that, the LBG group, but the transgender and the lobbyists involved with all of this movement to bring equality across all and then to deny the sexual binary of male and female, then transgender was admitted into this acronym of LBGT.
Let's define some terms that get thrown around very commonly, Bob, and very often without any sound definitions, beginning with the term sexual orientation.
Yeah, sexual orientation from the standpoint of what we're trying to get at, this, you're right, these are terms that I guess people use this in a very common way, and it relates to someone's romantic and sexual attraction to another person. So one may be attracted to a person of a different gender or the same gender or both, but all genders are to know one at all. So it's kind of like an attraction, a romantic and sexual attraction. It has nothing to do with the sex of a person, either male or female, but that's kind of what it is. And that, of course, brings you into this whole issue of the word gender, which in its contextual form is a term that relates to man or woman or boy or girl. It is a social construct. The biological and social and psychological interact to define the gender in a public square. So gender being a social or cultural construct, it was added, I think, probably approximately about the time the word transgender came in, so that it basically, to be quite honest, denies that people are male or female. So this social construct came about, and so we hear this all the time. What is your gender? And that means I'm a man or a woman. It has nothing to do that I'm male or female.
Then that's distinct from the term sex. How do we best define this?
Yeah, sex, of course, is not the same as gender. And this is where we would come from the biblical point of creation. Many of these terms are used, unfortunately, interchangeably today. But sex is really biological. It's a biology term. It's also a term, a biblical term, from the standpoint that God created us male and female, man and woman. And so biology determines the sex of a person is determined right after the first cell stage in an embryonic human being. So you are either male or female. And that's your what I call conception sex, not birth sex, because the sex of a person is already predetermined right away after conception. So a sex is determined biologically as male or female, not gender, which is really targets man or woman.
A term that has recently come into the public vocabulary, intersex, what does that mean?
Well, it's intersex, I guess, from a biological viewpoint. It's a general term, again, not specific, and it relates to a variety of conditions in which a person is born with a reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't seem to fit the typical definitions of what we would say are male and female. So even though we are male or female, intersex, sometimes when there is normal sexual differentiation, the appearance of the external and internal organs tend to be consistent with the sex chromosomes, but sometimes they tend to be neither. So it's between the sexes. It's neither male neither female.
But strictly speaking, it's not a psychological or psychiatric term. It is a biological term describing a physiological or a ambiguity. We would call it, in effect, a birth defect of some kind, correct?
Yes, we would. Once again, it's biology, and it is exactly what you say it is, Todd. It's nothing more than that. It's not a psycho-emotional issue. It is already determined at some point early in the conception process of a human being between the sperm and an egg.
Dr. Bob Weiss is our guest. We're talking about transgenderism on this Wednesday, March the 15th. He's author of a chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Transgender Identity in Light of Biblical Identity. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Western societies where the most basic notions of right and wrong are not only denied but actively suppressed, recovering a biblical and distinctly Christian understanding of the natural law is absolutely essential.
Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Traditionally, Christians have understood that man is not born a blank slate just waiting to be programmed like a machine. We are moral creatures whose imaginations are darkened by sin. Yet every person still has a basic understanding of right and wrong because God has revealed it to us in his creation through natural law. denying the vital role of natural law has grave consequences, not only for society, but for the church's crucial task of proclaiming the gospel.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for natural law Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about transgenderism and the whole constellation of other terms that surround it. Dr. Bob Weiss is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Bob, we come to one of the more difficult ones, and that is transgenderism itself. Transgender, how is it defined?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because this is a term that in what is called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM-5, they tend to avoid this term, to be quite honest. And as I said before, when you get into the LGBT transgender, clinically transgender is defined as those persons who identify with a different gender. That is, if I were a man, I'm going to identify more towards the woman. And if I'm a woman, I'm going to identify more towards the man than their birth gender, than either being male or female. That is, a child born a male believes, for whatever reason, he is female and changes his outward appearance conforming to that transient gender. And this is why trans has become the shorthand for transgender people. And the use of the term transgender as a noun rather than an adjective is viewed by the LGBT people as disrespectful. But transgender is basically what the issue is today. We see in the news, it's all over the place, where you have a woman who says, I don't like being caged into this. And this is the definition that came out of this Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Now, this is interesting, of mental disorders, when they define transgender as I have just defined it.
But of course, we probably all know that term, transgender, is quickly being, the notion of it being a disorder of some kind is quickly being erased, isn't it?
It is quickly being erased. However, it still is written up in the clinical definition in this Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, Mental Disorders. But of course, you are correct. If you say anything, and I've talked with a couple transgenders in prep for this chapter, they said, it's not a mental disorder. It's just something the way it is. And the only way that one can access it and treat it is to identify it not as a gender identity disorder, which has been eliminated from this DMS-5, and now gender dysphoria has replaced it, and that simply refers to the distress that many may accompany the difference between one's experienced male or female or man or woman to the expressed gender of being man to woman or woman to man. So even though it still remains part of the diagnostic manual, you are correct. It is very quickly being, and I suspect the next time they come out with this new DSM-5 or 6 manual, that this will not be part of the manual at all. It will just be, this is part of our society, get used to it. If men want to feminize their masculinity, fine. If women want to masculinize their femininity, fine. But one still remains, certainly from a creation viewpoint, and it's still in your genes and your skin cells, you're still either male or female.
The term transsexual, what does it mean?
Well, a transsexual person is one who has, and somewhat different than transgender, they have transitioned to the opposite sex socially, often with the aid of hormones, perhaps sexual reassignment surgery. This goes beyond just dressing, and it's not really cross-dressing that the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It is really more specific. It's a more specific term for transgender, when you have a person who has gone from female to male outwardly, including surgery or hormonal treatments, or male to female. Although our society, when you think about this, Todd, is they really aren't distinguishing themselves between the definitions of transgender and transsexual. The only time you really find this differentiation are the ones who actually undergo the actual surgery. So if a person identifies and says, well, I'm really male, even though they look female, their identity would be then transgender. If they went through hormonal treatment or surgical intervention, then they have actually moved into what's called a transsexual. They have crossed their sexual identity from male to female or female to male.
And I want to emphasize a word you threw in there pretty strongly, and that is they have transitioned socially. There's nothing that can be done to change one's, as you said, conception sex, what they are and remain from the time of conception, correct?
That is correct. I mean, we are, and we all talk about this, but we are what God has created us to be. We are male and we are female. And that is a biological differentiation that remains and always will remain. All body cells, all the zones that you have in every body cell, I have the sex chromosomes of an XY. The women who are listening to this, they have the XX. And even if one changes their outward appearance, whether it's done through hormonal therapy or sex reassignment surgery, which is very rare to do complete sex reassignment surgery, one still, from the standpoint of God's biblical creation story, remains male and female. It is not changeable. And I don't know of a biologist yet that can give a definition and say, yeah, you may look different on the outside, but still you remain male and female. And from our view, you are still a body and a soul, either male or female.
A term that is often shortened down to cis, that's C-I-S, but cisgender, what does it mean?
Well, that's the normal thing where people who are not transgender or transsexual, their gender identity matches up with the sex that they were assigned at birth. That's the traditional definition that comes out of the standard diagnostic manual, that you are what you are from conception. So, you know, birth certificates, when they're assigned and they say, do you have a boy or a girl? Actually, they'll say male or female. And that's what you are. You are either male or female. Your conception sex matches up with your assigned at birth sex. So it's either male or female. There's no difference.
And that is apart from what we had talked about earlier, sexual orientation. I've recently read a prominent homosexual man writing, and he identified himself as a cisgendered homosexual or a cisgendered gay man. He
yes.
says, I'm a man, and my sexual orientation is toward other men. He would fall
yeah.
into the category cisgender.
He would fall into the category cisgender. And I might add that at least the statistics, although they're very abstract and not terribly identifiable to an absolute number, but what I have read in the books and papers I've read is that the majority, and I'm going to say more than 50% of those who identify themselves as either transsexual or transgender are not also in the category of a practicing homosexual.
The term you used earlier, cross-dresser, does that simply describe how one dresses?
Yeah, this is just simply how one dresses. This is the what one would call a transvestite, it used to be, but there's a lady, and her name is Stryker, and she's written an awful lot of stuff on this. It's just usually considered to be, if I can recall this correctly, a neutrally descriptive of the practice of wearing just gender-atypical clothing rather than associating yourself with that practice with an erotic impulse. It's just somebody that says, I'm just going to wear, say, undergarments of a woman. That's all you do. And you go to work as, say, dressed in a suit, but under the undergarments may be women undergarments, or vice versa, a woman who may put a dress on but have the undergarments of a man. That is considered a cross-dresser. And I would encourage our listeners to take a look at Deuteronomy 22:5. One has to be careful in terms of the context of this, but to the Lord, when one dresses opposite of their sex that is identifiable, certainly a conception of birth, then the Lord calls that an abomination, a to'avah in Hebrew. And this means it doesn't set well with God at all when one does this type of practice.
And I guess one might conclude, therefore, that if God were so clear as to say, I don't even want men dressing like women or women dressing like men, the other things we've been talking about here in terms of attempts to or identifying as the opposite sex are certainly unbiblical.
Well, they're certainly unbiblical. And again, this all goes back to creation. You know, I believe that God has made me and all creatures and given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my body and soul and so forth. I mean, this is what he has done by his word. He's the subject. We're not the subject. And so he has created male and female, man and woman. And anything that goes against that word is against God and what he has made us. And it is, as I have said before, this is an attempt to flee creation. In our society, of course, as you well know, they're saying, well, you know, everything is different, times have changed, but this is kind of how it goes. And this is why, Target now, as you well know, they have gone into this very strongly in other stores, and people see this stuff. And I tend to think that we need to hearken back and do more teaching when it comes to parenting. You know, the good Lord says, go baptize and so forth and teach. And so I'm hoping that we continue to be teaching the basics of what God continues to do for us through his word.
Dr. Bob Weiss is our guest. We're talking about transgenderism on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 15th. One more term to deal with, and then conversation wrapping up with Dr. Bob Weiss. The term is the Q at the end of LGBTQ.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development.
Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about transgenderism with Dr. Bob Weiss, author of a chapter in the book Ethics of Sex, titled Transgender Identity in Light of Biblical Identity. Bob, let's talk about one more term, and this one has been tacked on in the acronym LGBT. It's the Q that's often found at the end. What is it? What does it stand for?
It stands for queer. This is another one of those. It's kind of an umbrella term for everything. If a person, this Professor Stryker, when she writes about this, she says, I don't want to say gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or drag. She just basically lumps everything into, and this is how the community lumps it into, they lump all LGBT and intersex into one phrase called queer. It's a community term. It's an umbrella term. So when somebody years ago, you know, they would say, well, this person seems to be a little queer, what they're really talking about is how they're acting on the outside as either LGBT, and so they add this word Q or queer to it to sort of an umbrella term meaning everything before that.
So how does the church do two things, Bob? First, engage with this whole new lexicon of words and of people who are, with almost every passing week, coining new terms and new definitions. How do we engage with that, and then how do we respond to these things?
Well, I think we have to engage with it by reading about it, talking about it, learning about it from the standpoint of what God has given to us in the story of creation. We can't just kind of sit back and say, well, it doesn't impact me or affect me, but it does in terms of our Christian witness. So to engage into this type of social construct of transgenderism or LGBT, I think we have to be better informed. We have to make sure we're informed about our terms, get those terms clarified, understand that this is kind of where our culture is right now in a sex-less culture, or some people call it genderless culture. I mean, so we have to be engaged into reading, understanding what is happening so that we can, like St. Paul says, what we receive, we can pass on. So how we respond to this, to me, is to listen to those people who struggle with, quote-unquote, their sexual identity, get into their narrative, find out what's going on, and then we're able to respond accordingly from the standpoint of what we believe, teach, and confess. To me, it's very similar to what Paul did when he went to Mars Hills. You know, he went into Athens, he looked around, people heard him talk. They said, hey, tell us about your God. And he goes up, he sees this unknown God. He didn't put him down. He said, let me tell you about my God. So I really think it's very basic. It's very basic to go back to catechetical instruction and teaching so that when somebody says to me, well, you know, this is kind of the way things are, Bob. You know, you can't do anything about it. Well, yes, we do. We witness. We witness about Jesus Christ and his creative word, and especially certainly the incarnation where God took on human flesh and became a man, in spite of what many of them say that Adam was a hermaphrodite. You know, they put all these things out there with Satan's twisted mind to confuse us. But the story of creation is the story of creation.
And that witness will be one of both law and gospel, where we will clearly say, with compassion, especially to those who are suffering with the elements here we've discussed that involve emotional, psychological disorders,
that where we, but where we clearly say what God's word prohibits and forbids, and attended with the promise of forgiveness.
Yes, we can't. There's no reason to soften the word of God where some are doing this. In one of my talks, I created what I call a word softener. Sin goes in and the word mistake comes out. This is not a mistake. This is fleeing creation. And this is not a time to, as we would say, dance around the mulberry bush on this. It is what it is. And as a friend of mine who works in the street up in a city north of where I live in Edwardsville, who used to be a very much a practicing homosexual, and now he works on the street as a minister working with LGBTQ individuals, he said eventually, just exactly what you're saying, Todd, eventually he says because their soul is in jeopardy, because they are denying what God has created them to be, he says, I have to get into their face. Now we're talking law, you know, and that doesn't mean he's screaming at them, but he has to come out and say, very similar to what the Lord said about Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, would that I could gather you under my wing like a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't listen to me. I mean, so I really do believe that this comes down to the whole issue of salvation talk from the law gospel view, and that this cannot be softened. It has to be told as it is, because we are dealing with the salvation of all people, and we are to witness this because we are dealing and living in the end times.
Dr. Bob Weiss is Professor Emeritus of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, author of a chapter in the book Ethics of Sex titled Transgender Identity in Light of Biblical Identity. This book, Ethics of Sex, is available at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Ethics of Sex. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. God's peace to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.